This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and I'm Heather Vail. Joining me is Adriana Connolly, Multicultural Outreach Liaison for the Nevada Donor Network, and Ramon Del Campo, City of Henderson Police Officer, former Captain of the Las Vegas Lights, and Living Kidney Donor. August is National Minority Donor Awareness Month, and Ramon is being honored for his life-saving gift at the Las Vegas Lights game next Saturday. Adriana and Ramon, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
So, Adriana, what exactly is the Nevada Donor Network?
So Nevada Donor Network is a nonprofit organ procurement organization, also responsible for facilitating tissue and cornea donation statewide. So in other words, our mission is to save and heal lives through organ and tissue donation. So we serve more than the 3 million people here in the state of Nevada, and we educate our partners and the communities about the importance of our mission.
Okay. Now, August is National Minority Donor Awareness Month. Why is it important to bring awareness to minority donors specifically?
So National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month is so important for us because we want to increase awareness of organ, eye, and tissue donation in our multicultural community. So our multicultural community represents 60% of the people who are in the national transplant waiting list. And currently, we have over 100,000 people waiting for a life-saving transplant. When I refer to multicultural communities, I say that are African-Americans, Latinos, Hispanics, we have Asians, we have Native Americans, and we have multiracial. So it is important just to provide education so they can register and provide more opportunities to the people who are waiting.
Okay, and what kind of donations are most needed among the multicultural community?
Actually, this is a great question. The most needed organ is kidney. And 85 of the people who are in the national transplant waiting list that I mentioned, that is over 100,000, they're waiting for a kidney transplant.
Okay, so Ramon, you donated a kidney. Tell us your story and what made you decide to be a donor?
Yeah, so the story starts when my mother was diagnosed with kidney disease. This was in 2017. My mom was put on dialysis, and something had happened throughout the process where she was told she needed to wait or to be on dialysis for a little longer. And I may be butchering the science behind it. I'm not the genius when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. But she had to be on dialysis for a certain amount of time. And then once that time ended, then there was now they did another test on her. And then the opportunity came of, all right, let's work to find a kidney for my mom. From the get-go, myself and my two younger brothers and my dad, we had all offered. We were like, this is, you're going to take our kidneys, yada, yada. It was actually like a fight between all of my brothers and I. When the time came, unfortunately, my dad couldn't give a kidney to my mom. I don't believe it was a match. And then for my brothers and I, we found out that because we are offspring and we essentially came out of my mom developed an antibody that would reject anything from us directly. Huh. So, I could be butchering the science, but that's what I had understood. So, because my mom and I were a match when it came to the blood, we were kind of like, everything was a perfect fit until we heard that part, which because I was her offspring, which was pretty devastating to hear. It was unfortunate. And obviously I come from a Mexican background. My family's from Sonora, Hermosillo, Sonora, Northern Mexico. And, you know, there was a big stigma to give away an organ, which is like huge. People just, I guess, of course, it's a huge step. It's a huge move. Like, you're cutting a piece out of your body and it may go to another person. However, my mom was a part of the kidney donor program in San Diego, specifically UC San Diego. And there's a program there where the way I understood it was you give one to get one, right? And they said, if you offer one, we'll find a match somewhere around the United States of America. We'll give your kidney to them. And the next person, or what happens is your mom goes to the top of that priority list. And we start, everyone we test is to see if we can get her a kidney. So hearing that and understanding that not many people, you know, were stepping up, and it's no fault to them. You know, if you're not comfortable to do it, that there's no blame at all. However, that's my mom, right? And I'll give my life for my mom. I love my mom. My brothers and I are all the same. when it comes to, well, you know, our mommy, right? Mm-hmm. So the opportunity came where I was a match for someone specifically in Minnesota, and I never met them or anything like that. But of course, this opportunity was, this man gets to get my kidney, gets a second chance at life, and then my mom gets to go to that top priority list. I did that. I went through surgery. They took my kidney. I got a gnarly picture of it. It looks super cool. I kind of have it as one of my favorites. I would put it as my screensaver, but a lot of people get uncomfortable when they see that. And that was in September of 2022. My mom got her kidney in January of 2023. So it was just such a quick turnaround rate. And it was the same process for her. And it was actually another lady in San Diego donating her kidney so that a close loved one could get one later. And so now we're here. My mom's got three kidneys in her body. I've got one, and my mom can finally swim in swimming pools, take airplanes, and live free from dialysis. And that's kind of our story in a nutshell.
Wow, that's awesome. So, Adriana, when Ramon was talking about the cultural stigma that people don't really give away organs, is that one of the reasons why more organ donations are needed among the multicultural community?
Yes, it's totally right. Actually, unfortunately, our all multicultural community, I'm not going to say that all of them, but like the numbers shows that they're less likely to register as an organ and tissue donor because of the myth and misconceptions that are in the community. I grew up as a Latin, and a Latin, I'm from Colombia. Yeah, I mean, I didn't have education about organ donation until when I get here to the United States, you know, so there is a lack of education. This is how I call it. Sometimes people don't want to even talk about it. Like, people are afraid of that, of it. So when I go to the community, I just talk about this topic. Like, I have received like positive like answers from the community, from multicultural communities. They said like, oh, I didn't know about this. I didn't know that one organ donor can save the life of eight others. Or I didn't know that my religion support organ and tissue donation. So actually all religions, the principal religions here in the United States, they see this as the last act of love and generosity. So yes, the problem right now, the problem that we have right now with the multicultural communities are myths and misconceptions and also lack of education. So that's why here at Nevada Donor Network, we're trying our best to be out there in the community, talking to everybody and connecting with multicultural leaders so they can help us to spread our word out.
Yeah, that's great. So Ramon, you're being honored next week, Saturday, August 26th at the Las Vegas Lights game, which is the team that you used to play for and be the captain before becoming a City of Henderson police officer. What does that feel like to get that honor back on your home turf, so to speak?
Oh, it's such a privilege. You know, speaking to Brett Lashbrook, the owner of the team, just brought back old memories from being on that field, playing on that field. And it's going to be such a special moment, right? Because it's bigger than soccer. And I'm glad that soccer can give us this platform. But really what I hope happens is it sparks a conversation. Just to touch off what Adriana was talking about and that stigma. You know, I live this. This was in my family. And the conversation was avoided. No one wanted to have the conversation at the time. I think my mom is based out of San Diego, and myself and my brothers, we obviously moved away. We're not in there, but you know, this was conversations that my grandmother, my mom's mom, is struggled to have with, of course, that's her daughter, but sometimes you just don't even know what to say. And when you don't know what to say, well, the worst part is the conversation doesn't happen. Whereas I hope what happens on Saturday is people get to see that field. They get to see someone being a part of a miracle, because I believe my mom's that miracle. Everyone played a part in it so that she can have life, and that the other person that received my kidney can have life, and how it just life keeps getting extended. And I hope that sparks a conversation of, I wonder how you can do that. What happens if you do that? And me being a walking example of, I was a police officer when I gave my kidney, and I can go back and still be a police officer, which is a very egregious job. It demands a lot of physicality, a lot of mental strength, and I'm doing it on one kidney and better than ever before. So anytime there's that fear of, oh, if I give this organ, I won't be the same. It's such a myth. And really that's the biggest privilege of being on that field Saturday, holding up that scarf, is seeing people's faces. And hopefully when they walk away, they go, I wonder how I can do that, how I can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what if listeners want to go to that game and watch you be honored? How do they do that?
The best thing they could do is go to LasVegasLightsFootballClub.com. There are tickets to be purchased there. I know there's awesome bundles and deals. That's, in my opinion, the best way. You can always show up to Cashman Field and purchase a ticket. I know Brett's got an amazing staff out there working. They got a great ticket booth. Makes you feel like you're going to an MLS game, to an MLB game. And they're going to make them feel very welcome. So you have those two options, LasVegasLightsFootballClub.com, or you can show up to Cashman Field and buy a ticket at the ticket booth.
Nice. Okay. And Adriana, where can people go if they want to find out more about the Nevada Donor Network, or if they want to find out how to make a living donation like Ramon did?
Yeah, so they can go to mbdonor.org. There is our website, and in our website, we have all kind of testimonies that are coming from living donors, from donor families, from recipients, and they just share in their testimony how, like, what was the positive impact that organ donation has brought to their lives. So if they want to register as an organ donor, it's not too late. They can also go to our website and they register to there, or they can go to their local DMV and register as an organ and tissue donor. Just saying yes to donation, it brings so much hope to all the people who are desperate and waiting. So that's the way that they can do it. And I just have one more thing to say about the game. So we're so happy, and it's an honor for us to have Ramon there. And also, we are giving $1 off to people who want to participate in our game in August 26th. If you just show your heart in your driver license, in the register, they will discount $1. Because this game is so important for us. We want to touch so many hearts. And we just want to increase awareness of this importance.
Nice. Okay. So the game is happening next Saturday, August 26th, 7:30 p.m. It's the Las Vegas Lights versus Phoenix Rising. Happens at Cashman Field. Tickets start at $20. But if you show your organ donor certification, so show your driver's license with the heart, you get $1 off. And the website for that is Las Vegas Lights FC, which stands for football club, LasVegasLightsFC.com. And if you want to find out more about the Nevada Donor Network, especially now during National Minority Donor Awareness Month, you can just go to nvdonor.org, which is the website for the Nevada Donor Network, nvdonor.org. And Adriana and Ramon, I want to thank you both so much for being here. Adriana, for bringing more awareness to this issue and for letting people know what they can do to help out. And Ramon, for sharing your story and letting people know how they can also make a difference like you did. I appreciate you both being here. Thank you so much.
Such an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Andrew Ryan, Marketing and Events Director of Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN. AFAN's 37th annual Black and White Party is coming up really soon. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
So for those who aren't familiar with AFAN, what exactly does the organization do?
AFAN, Aid for AIDS of Nevada, we are the largest and oldest HIV/AIDS service organization in the state of Nevada. We provide case management, medical case management, transportation, nutrition, housing assistance, and a few other services in our office, including free HIV testing, which we're relaunching after we closed it down for COVID.
Wow, nice. Okay, that's a lot of services. So how long have you been around? When was AFAN first established?
AFAN was established in 1984 during the height of the AIDS pandemic.
Yeah, wow. That's like almost four decades. So like you mentioned, it was a pandemic back then. It was very sad and, you know, very impactful. How have the needs of the community changed over the past four decades?
Well, because of advances in medicine, it's no longer a death sentence. And what we're seeing now is people thriving and surviving. So our services have adapted. But one of the things that I think that we need to continue to share with, especially the Las Vegas community, is that the fight isn't over. There's an average of one new infection every single day in the state of Nevada. And Wow. We are one of the highest states with new infections percentage rates in the nation.
So, you know, a lot of good news that it's not a death sentence anymore. So some positivity there, but also some bad news that our rates are so high. Why do you think it is so high here in Nevada?
Well, you know, we did see very soon after the COVID restrictions were uplifted, we did see across the board increases in sexually transmitted infection rates. And that was, you know, several factors, but one of the things that I think people don't associate with HIV and AIDS is intravenous drug use. And one thing that we work to promote with other agencies is harm reduction. That is another way that HIV is transmitted that I don't think people think of as commonly as they do as sexual activity.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So when it comes to raising funds, which are obviously crucially important when you're running an organization like this, but it's also a lot of fun, is your annual Black and White Party. So tell us about the Black and White Party that's coming up very shortly.
Yes, it's our 37th annual event. It started as a very small, humble event, and it was in someone's home. One of the founders of AFAN actually had all of their friends come over. And at the time, generic canned food was black and white labeled. And out of that came the theme for the dress code, which is wear as much black and white as you want or as little as you can get away with. And it's become one of the most popular fundraising events in Las Vegas. It's moved from a small home event into a large scale event in casino properties across Las Vegas. And we're very excited to be back in a venue that we've had the party before, which is the Palms. Under new ownership and new management, but it's a familiar space to us as an organization, and we're thrilled that we're being invited back to the venue.
Yeah, that's great. A lot of events are moving back to the Palms now with the new ownership. It just seems to be a really great place to hold an event like this.
Yes, and the event is indoor-outdoor, so we're in the former Chaos nightclub space and in the pool area, and the neat thing about it is there's a glass partition that opens up to the pool area, so we'll have indoor-outdoor entertainment, we'll have a main stage that will have every 15 minutes a different show from the Las Vegas Strip feature doing either something from their show or a special performance that's curated just for our event, and we'll also have food and liquor vendors throughout the venue. So we're going to have over 10 restaurants and over 10 liquor vendors giving out samples of their signature dishes and their signature cocktails.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So you mentioned that originally it was named after the black and white no-name food labels. So was it originally kind of more like a food drive?
It was. It was to fill the AFAN food pantry because at the time that was one of the needs that the founding members of AFAN saw in the community, which was a food service pantry. So that was something in the past that we had as a service. And, you know, like I said, AFAN services have grown and evolved to meet the needs of our community. And one of the things that you touched on was that 100% of the funds that we raise at these events, like the Black and White Party and the AIDS Walk, stay right here in Southern Nevada to fulfill the needs of our services so that we can continue them and expand them and even offer new services or services that have been put on pause due to lack of funding.
Yeah, that's amazing. So normally organizations call a fundraising event like this a gala, but you call it a black and white party. Why is it a party and not a gala?
We definitely want to make that distinction. It's not a sit-down dinner. It's not a plated dinner event. It's a party. And we want people to take full advantage of that dress code. And they do. You'll see everything as long as it's black and white. So I like to say it brings out one of the widest demographics of people from Las Vegas that just want to have a good time. And, you know, we're here to not only celebrate our progress, but also to, you know, look back and see how far we've come as an organization. And our supporters are so wonderful that they continue to not only attend our events, but to bring people that haven't attended the event before and make them aware of what we're doing here in the community.
Okay. Now, you mentioned there's going to be a lot of amazing entertainment, people that normally perform on the Strip, people that perform locally. Do you have any sneak peeks that we could have as to who the entertainers might be?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I'm super excited about this year is for the first time in many years, we have a celebrity host, which is Perez Hilton. He will be hosting the event with our regular host, Norma Leah Mann, who, if you've ever seen Norma out at events in Las Vegas, she's fun, she's bawdy, she's outrageous, and we like to call her Auntie Norma. So she hosts the event every year and brings something fun and unique to the theme. And DJ Axis is going to be doing our music this year. He's an incredible DJ who supports all of our events. And then on top of that, we have Piranha Nightclub. They're one of our presenting sponsors. They're bringing go-go dancers. They're bringing a full dance production number with dancers and drag queens and acrobats. Chippendales will be there making an appearance. We have Vegas the Show, which, you know, we all love a showgirl. You know, what would Vegas be without the showgirl? We have Illuminate from the Strat. Wow, the Vegas Spectacular. Rouge, which is, of course, the sexiest show in Vegas. And we have Jennifer Romas's brand new production, Excite the Show, is going to be coming and joining us. And also Glam is doing a production, which is a fantastic rooftop party at the Palms every month. And we also have a brand new addition, which this is the first time I've even been able to talk about this. RuPaul's Drag Race Live is bringing their entire cast and dancers to do a closing number production for us.
Wow, that's great. So, I mean, obviously, that's a lot of fantastic entertainment. Everyone that you mentioned, they're so talented and they put on such great shows. But RuPaul's Drag Race and Perez Hilton, that's a little different than what you've had before. Why are we going more Hollywood now?
Well, you know, it's all about bringing new fresh ideas and new talents. You know, we have what I like to call our regulars in Vegas who come to support our event every year, and we love them and appreciate them for that. But we always want to throw something different into the mix. And when you get approached by someone who is excited about supporting the cause and wants to, you know, throw their hat in the ring, we always love doing that, especially for our attendees, so they have something to look forward to every year. And one thing that, you know, you probably have seen at all of our events is our biggest supporters, celebrity advocates, are Penn and Teller. And they are the grand marshals of our AIDS walk every year. They're going to be making a special appearance at the Black and White Party this year. And, you know, so it's always fun to have the continuing support of shows and entertainers and celebrities. But it's also amazing to have people that haven't been at our events before come in and bring a new element and something new for people to be excited about. And we are thrilled this year that the Entertainment Main Stage is brought to you in partnership with the Las Vegas Transitional Grant Area's Love Live campaign. And you'll see that throughout the evening. So everyone at the event will be seeing the new campaign for the first time before it rolls out citywide.
Nice. Okay. So you mentioned it's at the Palms and it's in the Chaos nightclub space, indoor and outdoor, but give us all the details about when exactly it's happening, the date, the time, and all of that.
So we are having this event on Saturday, September 9th at the Palms Resort and Casino, and the welcome reception for VIP ticket holders, which is VIP plus and high level sponsors, is at 7 p.m. at Ghost Bar, which we are rebranding and calling it Club 37 in honor of our 37th anniversary. And then GA and regular VIP doors open at 8 p.m. and the party's going to go nonstop until midnight.
Wow, sounds fantastic. So you did mention the AIDS walk a couple of times. Besides the Black and White Party, what else do you guys do throughout the year?
Throughout the year, we do have other events, including art events. We have dining events. We're going to be bringing back our evening of cabaret, which is a really fun event that we have done in the past that we haven't done since COVID, but we're really excited about that. So more of a Broadway style event. And in the not too distant future, December 1st, of course, is World AIDS Day, where we light the world famous Las Vegas sign with red bulbs and invite all of the properties up and down the strip to participate in changing any of their facades or landmarks or marquees red in honor of World AIDS Day. And so you'll see us out at the Vegas sign on December 1st.
Nice. Okay. So where can people find out more about Aid for AIDS of Nevada as a whole, whether they want to be a supporter, whether they want services, whether they just want to find out more information? And also, how do they get tickets for the Black and White Party?
Head over to afanlv.org. You'll find all of the information about AFAN and the services that we offer and the work that we do in the community. You'll also be able to click on the events tab and purchase tickets for the event. We still have VIP tables available as well as general admission and VIP tickets. And definitely follow us on our social media at afanlv. Keep up with us all year round for all the events.
Okay, nice. And do you use volunteers as well?
We sure do. And the best way to get a hold of us is to email us or visit the website and click volunteer.
Okay, awesome. So afanlv.org is the website to go to. AFANLV.org stands for Aid for AIDS of Nevada, LV, Las Vegas, afanlv.org. And also on social, afanlv. So really easy to remember. Everything's just afanlv. And if you want to get tickets to the Black and White Party, just click on the events tab for that. It's coming up on Saturday, September 9th, 7 p.m. for the VIP, 8 p.m. general admission. All of it's happening at the Palms Casino Resort. So you can find out that information there as well at afanlv.org. And Andrew, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know about what you're doing in the community and especially about this amazing event that you have every year and coming up again. It's one of the flagship events here in Las Vegas. So it's always a fun and exciting time. And I want to thank you for being here and sharing it with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for helping us spread the word and continue our work.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. Nikki Vars McCullough, respiratory protection expert for 3M's Personal Safety Division. Air quality and pollution are a safety concern all the time, but especially now with extreme weather conditions and wildfires currently raging around the country. Dr. McCullough, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
So what sorts of things can contribute to unhealthy levels of particles in the air?
Well, certainly smoke from wildfires is, you know, causing a lot of air pollution these days all around the country. But other things like dirt and dust from roads and fields, factory emissions, car and vehicle exhaust, all of those things can contribute to outdoor air pollution.
Okay. And how exactly does poor air quality affect our health?
So poor air quality means that there's a lot of particles in the air. And when we breathe in, these particles can get into our nose and our mouth and our lungs. And you may notice that your eyes and your lungs become irritated. You might notice yourself coughing. Or if you've got, you know, lung disease or asthma, you might notice that your symptoms have gotten worse. And so all of these things can really be some short-term effects we can see when there's unhealthy air.
So we see the short-term effects immediately, but what are some of the long-term effects?
The long-term effects are really going to, you know, differ by person, but it certainly is a concern. And it can be lung or heart problems long-term if we're exposed to unhealthy air all of the time. So it's really important to pay attention to how healthy or unhealthy the air is in your area.
Okay. Now, when we're talking about outdoor air quality, what are some ways to protect ourselves when we have to be outdoors?
Yeah, the first recommendation is always to stay inside, but that's not always possible for everybody. A lot of people have to work outside. You may have to do errands, take your kids to school, walk the dog. And so if you do have to be outside, one of the things that can really help is to use an N95 respirator mask. Many of us became familiar with these over the last 4 years. I know I've used them myself. And finding an N95 respirator, which you can find at a hardware store or some of your other bigger stores, wearing that and wearing one that fits you well, that fits your face well, can really help reduce the particles that you breathe in.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, now it's become much more acceptable to wear a mask.
Exactly.
All right. Now, what about inside? You mentioned staying inside. So what are some ways to help maintain good indoor air quality?
Yeah, if the outdoor air quality is unhealthy, the first recommendation is to stay inside and make sure you close up your windows and your doors, really to keep, you know, outdoor air outside. But you still want to work on maintaining your good air quality inside your home. So one of the main things you can do is use a filter. Now, if you've got an HVAC system, a heating or cooling system, you want to make sure you turn the fan on so that it's running all of the time and that you use a high efficiency filter, like a Filtrete filter in your system, and make sure that you're changing it routinely. Now, I live in a house that doesn't have an HVAC system. We have radiators. And so I use room air purifiers. And these are little units that sit in the middle of the room. And again, they have filters. And I make sure I get a high efficiency filter and that I change it routinely so that we're constantly cleaning that indoor air and really trying to maintain that good indoor air quality.
What about doing both, combining the HVAC system with the smaller room air purifiers?
You know, that's something actually that my parents have done, because they do have house with some bigger rooms. And so they use high efficiency Filtrete filters in their HVAC system. But in their bedroom, for example, they also have a small room air purifier to make sure that, especially when they're sleeping at night, that they're breathing, you know, good indoor air as good as possible. We've had a lot of wildfire smoke this summer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So is having the filter running all the time through the HVAC system enough to keep the HVAC system working optimally, or should we bring in a professional to actually clean the whole system of ducts every now and then?
You know, that's something you really should talk about with your HVAC system, the people that maintain your HVAC system. It's always good to make sure that you have routine maintenance on those systems. And to help make sure that you're changing your Filtrete or air filter routinely, for example, we do have an app, and that app will tell you when you need to change the filter. And if you're changing it routinely, that is going to be the most efficient way to operate your HVAC system, but also to make sure that you're maintaining good indoor air quality.
Nice. Okay. So where could listeners go if they want to find out more about maintaining good indoor air quality or protecting themselves when they have to spend time in the outdoors with poor outdoor air quality?
There are a lot of great resources out there. 3M has a website, 3M.com/wildfire safety. And there you can learn all about using filters inside your home, using N95 respirators if you have to go outside. The Environmental Protection Agency and the Centers for Disease Control also have a lot of information available to you.
Okay, perfect. So plenty of information on the official government websites, or you can go directly to 3M.com. That's the number 3, the letter M. So just 3M.com/wildfire safety. And Dr. McCullough, I want to thank you so much for being here and giving us some great tips and some information about how to protect ourselves and keep ourselves healthy, regardless of the air quality. So I really appreciate your time and expertise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Sherry Torkus, an integrative pharmacist, accomplished author, and dedicated health advisor who's committed to preventative healthcare. You may have heard about a supplement called berberine, which has been dubbed nature's Ozempic and hyped on social media as a new and harmless weight loss method. And Sherry's going to share her thoughts on it. Sherry, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me.
So what exactly is berberine?
So berberine's a compound. It's an alkaloid, and it's found naturally in certain plants such as barberry. And it's been used for thousands of years in various cultures around the world. But as you mentioned, it's lately become a very hot topic in social media, being touted for its beneficial effects on metabolic health, as it can help with blood sugar control, weight management, and cholesterol as well.
Yeah, so if it's been used for thousands of years, why is it suddenly so popular?
Well, I think it's becoming more popular for a number of reasons. One is that it's gaining attention and recognition in the medical community because there have been a number of clinical studies now that have evaluated the health benefits. So, you know, when we look at, you know, deeming the overall benefits of any particular product, we have to look to science. And although this has been used for thousands of years, it really hasn't been validated until I would say the last 10 to 20 years, where there's been just a growing number of studies. Just recently, there was a meta-analysis that was published in a journal called Frontiers in Pharmacology. And in this meta-analysis, they looked at 18 studies on berberine, and they concluded that it does indeed help with obesity, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar control, as well as improving insulin resistance. So these are some pretty key findings and published in reputable journals. So it's being compared to Ozempic. It doesn't have, I wouldn't say the weight loss benefits are more modest compared to Ozempic, but it also has a very good safety profile. It's very well tolerated. But one of the concerns with berberine is that it is not easily absorbed by the body. It has what we call poor bioavailability. So that's been one of the drawbacks of it, but that's actually been addressed recently. Some supplement manufacturers have created a berberine and a phytosome supplement, which combines it with a fat compound that helps to increase its absorption and bioavailability significantly by about 10 times.
Wow, that's awesome. So basically, the social media influencers are correct, and it's not just hype. They're actually onto something.
Well, I think they're onto something for sure. And, you know, I guess the good and the bad with social media is sometimes things can be overblown. I wouldn't say that this can go head to head with Ozempic. But what I would say is that there is good science behind it. It does offer a number of benefits. In fact, it seems to offer more benefits than Ozempic does in terms of overall metabolic health, because it can help with not just weight loss, blood sugar, but also with triglycerides. It can have a positive impact on total cholesterol, LDL, as well as raising your good HDL cholesterol. So those are a number of benefits. And it also has some other things that are being looked at in research, positive effects on the immune system and some other areas, even cognitive function. So, you know, I think it's pretty exciting. It's very interesting. And yeah, I think that this is definitely a good tool for people to consider.
Okay. And how does it work in terms of curbing sugar cravings or helping us with our blood sugar levels?
So one of the mechanisms of action of berberine is that it activates an enzyme, which is called AMPK, activated protein kinase. That is tied to its benefits on blood sugar control, insulin resistance, as well as its weight loss effects. And so that's very something that's been quite well studied in terms of its benefits on glucose and lipid levels. So in terms of curbing sugar cravings, because it can help to stabilize blood sugar and insulin levels, that in turn will help with managing those sugar cravings, which is a real challenge for people that are trying to lose weight and are, say, sugar addicts, or they just have those strong cravings. If we can stabilize blood sugar and insulin levels, that can be very helpful for curbing the cravings. So in addition to the supplement, taking berberine, the phytosome in a supplement form, I'd also suggest to people that when you're looking at stabilizing blood sugar levels, try to eat more slow-release carbohydrates, things that are high in fiber, multigrain breads, nuts, seeds, beans, legumes, and also have proteins, healthy protein and fat with your meal, because that will also slow down the glycemic response.
Okay. And what if trying to lose weight isn't a battle with sugar cravings necessarily, but more with, for example, a sluggish metabolism or metabolism that changes as we get older, or maybe even digestive issues? Does berberine help in those situations as well?
Yeah, berberine does help with metabolism. It does have a positive effect by increasing energy production in the body and reducing energy or fat storage. So it does have a positive effect in that area, as well as on gut health. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But with respect to metabolism, yes, berberine does help in that area. Something else to think about that can help with metabolism is doing weight training exercises, things that help to build our lean muscle mass, especially important as we get older and we start to lose muscle mass. If you can do just some even light resistance training with weights, using your own body weight or exercise tubing, that will help to improve your lean muscle mass. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn. So that can be helpful, as well as going for periods of time without eating. We call this intermittent fasting or time restricted eating. And there is evidence to suggest that if you can skip eating for 8 to 10 hours or so, that can also help to rev up your metabolism.
Okay. And yeah, talk a little bit more about the gut health and how that impacts our ability to lose weight.
Sure. So it turns out that the balance and the types of bugs and bacteria that are in our gut do impact a number of health parameters, including our metabolism, appetite, and even weight loss or weight gain. And there's a bacteria that's natural, native to our digestive system. It's called Akkermansia. And Akkermansia has been found, if levels of this bacteria are low, it's been associated with issues with metabolism and weight gain. So one of the strategies by which berberine works is to increase levels of this beneficial bacteria called Akkermansia. And it's thought that this is one of the mechanisms by which it helps to support metabolism and weight loss by boosting levels of this beneficial bacteria. So it's very fascinating. I mean, we're learning more and more all the time about the importance of the right balance of bacteria in our gut. And it does turn out that that indeed does impact our ability to gain and lose weight.
Okay, awesome. So where could people go if they wanted to learn more about the pros and cons of berberine or the other fascinating information that you've been talking about today?
Well, I posted a blog on this topic on my website. So if you go to sherrytorkos.com, it's SHERRYTORKOS. sherrytorkos.com. Go to my blog page and I have an article that I posted that discusses the benefits of berberine, the science, the research, and some of the precautions and what to look for when choosing a supplement.
Nice. Okay. So sherrytorkos.com is the website. Lots of information there besides just berberine, but sherrytorkos.com, SHERRYTORKOS.com, sherrytorkos.com. And Sherry, I want to thank you so much for being here. This is definitely a fascinating conversation because I've wondered about berberine myself and whether it was just hype or where the facts lay around the topic. So I'm glad you're here to shed light on it and help us learn more. It's been very interesting talking to you and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We don't want you on our team.
You're not the right fit for this job.
You're too slow and fat.
Don't you care how you look?
Weight bias hurts. Go to stopweightbias.com, a public service message from Obesity Action Coalition.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Bruce Strober, clinical professor of dermatology at Yale University School of Medicine, and Nitika Chopra, founder of the Chronicon Chronic Illness Community and a chronic illness advocate who's living with plaque psoriasis. August is Psoriasis Action Month, and Dr. Strober and Nitika are spreading the word about a new campaign aimed to inspire others living with plaque psoriasis. Dr. Strober and Nitika, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
So, Dr. Strober, what exactly is plaque psoriasis?
Well, plaque psoriasis affects about 7.5 million U.S. citizens, and it's often referred to as moderate to severe in about a quarter to a third of those patients, about 2.5 million. I see a lot of plaque psoriasis in my dermatology practice. I'm here today on behalf of Bristol-Myers Squibb and the Clear Understanding campaign to talk more about the disease. It's an autoimmune skin condition, chronic autoimmune skin condition, that shows up on the body as plaques or patches. They're often red or pink. In darker skinned individuals, they'd be maybe purple, brown, but also red. They often have white scale on top of them. They can be anywhere on the body. They can be 1% of the body, like a simple patch on the scalp, or they can be 80% of the body where most of the skin is covered. Importantly, Patients with psoriasis suffer from itch and pain wherever those plaques exist, and understandably can be very embarrassed by the condition. And if that's the case, patients need to speak with dermatologists about treatment options. There are many. I'm here to talk about Sotyktu or deucravacitinib. That's part of the Clear Understanding campaign. Sotyktu was approved by the FDA for patients with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are 18 years of age and up. It's an oral medication taken once daily. Also important to emphasize, Sotyktu could have potential side effects. And for that reason, every patient with psoriasis needs to discuss with their dermatologist the right therapy tailored to their needs and their condition.
Okay. And are there other types of psoriasis besides plaque psoriasis?
Indeed, there are. Plaque psoriasis is about 90% of all psoriasis. There are other types, and it's very important that we understand that patients need to have the right diagnosis when they go to their dermatologist, that indeed they have plaque psoriasis. Because therapies can be different depending on the type of psoriasis one has.
Okay. Nitika, what's your experience living with plaque psoriasis?
Yeah, so I got moderate to severe plaque psoriasis when I was pretty young, and I, you know, started out with one small patch on my arm that I didn't think too much of, and my mom took me to the dermatologist, and we learned pretty quickly that I had moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. And as a young kid, you know, this changed so much about my life. I was running and playing with my friends, and I loved to play soccer at the time. And I had to quit soccer because my condition became so challenging and so uncomfortable. It ended up covering, you know, almost my entire body from the tip of my foot to the tip of my head. And it was also really challenging in terms of making friends and socially and emotionally. So it was, it's been a long journey. It's been several decades now, and it definitely was really, really challenging at the start.
And what treatment options have you used yourself?
You know, everyone's different, so I definitely recommend folks take, you know, have conversations with their doctor, go to the dermatologist. I am here specifically for the Clear Understanding campaign. So we're talking really about, you know, breaking stigma. Everyone has to find their own treatment options that are best for them. But for me, it's really important for us to focus on the stigma aspect, because I think a lot of people think that psoriasis is just a skin condition, and I say that in quotes, but it's so much more than that. There are so many emotional and social impacts that people face with having moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. So I hope people check out, you know, clear-understanding.com and see there are so many stories where people can see how to really be empowered while they might be living with the condition.
Nice. Okay. So Dr. Strober, you were already talking about some of the latest treatment options, but is it curable or just controllable?
Psoriasis is just controllable. There is no cure currently available. In fact, if there were a cure, I would be retired now, because a lot of my patients have psoriasis. But no, we just have to use therapies, and there are a lot of different types that control the condition throughout the lifetime of the patient.
Okay. So you've both mentioned some aspects of the Clear Understanding campaign. What else is involved in that campaign, and what motivated both of you to become involved with it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I, as a patient and someone who's been living with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis for most of my life, I often felt so alone, you know, and that added to so much of the challenges that I felt with my condition. So there were all those physical challenges, but then feeling alone only added to that experience and made it that much harder for me. So when I heard about, you know, Bristol-Myers Squibb doing this Clear Understanding campaign that you can check out at clear-understanding.com, I was so excited because I could imagine myself at those moments where I did feel alone going to the campaign and seeing all of these stories about other patients that are feeling empowered and are living their life, you know, in a way that has them feel empowered. So that to me is, I don't know if you can hear the smile on my face, but I am smiling right now so big because it does make me feel so excited that someone else out there who is feeling alone and feeling isolated and really riddled with stigma and holding themselves back, they can check it out and go to clear-understanding.com and see like, oh, I'm not alone, you know, which is really exciting.
You know, when I got involved with it, because basically I want patients who have psoriasis who are not seeking therapy to come to terms with the concept that there are therapies that potentially can help them and realize, as Nitika says, they need not be alone and feel helpless. There are so many dermatologists too that are taking on the role of people who can help patients with psoriasis and really improve their experience through life.
Nice. Okay. And Nitika, what exactly is Chronicon?
Oh, sure. Chronicon, I started, you know, as a patient myself and sort of as we've talked about a little bit, feeling so alone. I now have a community of people who are living with chronic illnesses, and so many patients there have psoriasis. And yeah, it's a community that I started. We have live events, and it's been a really, really big joy to do that for folks.
Nice. Okay. So if people want to learn more about plaque psoriasis or they're living with plaque psoriasis and they want some support, the website to go to is clear-understanding.com. That's for the Clear Understanding campaign. And Nitika, what if they have another chronic illness and they want to check out Chronicon and see what you have to offer there?
Oh, sure. They can check us out at chronicon.co. And yeah, I'd love to connect with them.
Okay, awesome. So once again, clear-understanding.com is for the Clear Understanding campaign for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. And for other chronic illnesses, chronicon.co. And Nitika and Dr. Strober, I want to thank you both so much for being here today and letting us know more about plaque psoriasis, what it's like living with it, and some solutions that people can find when they're looking for treatment or support. So I appreciate both your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Heather.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah, I love talking to you. Thank you.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, August 21st at 8 p.m. benefiting Project Real, and Monday, September 11th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Firefighter Behavioral Health Alliance. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The United Way of Southern Nevada's Project Reach Senior Expo, powered by the NV Energy Foundation, helps those 62 and older who need help paying their electric, gas, water, or sewer bill. To sign up, attend one of the upcoming expos, which run from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. on different days at different casino properties. This year's expo days and locations are this Tuesday, August 22nd at the Orleans Casino and Hotel Mardi Gras Ballroom, next Thursday, August 24th at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall, Sam's Town Live, Tuesday, August 29th at Aliante Casino Hotel and Spa in the Scottsdale Grand Ballroom, and Thursday, August 31st at Palace Station Hotel and Casino in the Meeting Rooms. And again, they each run from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Find out more details at uwsn.org. That stands for United Way of Southern Nevada, uwsn.org. Foreclosed Upon Pets, Inc., or FUPPY, is holding their 15th annual fundraiser next Saturday, August 26th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Meadow School, 8601 Scholar Lane, Rampart and Lake Mead. Tickets are only $45, payable at the door, and you can find out more at forecloseduponpets.org, that's forecloseduponpets.org, or on Facebook, FUPPY Las Vegas, FUPI Las Vegas. Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN, is holding the 37th annual Black and White Party on Saturday, September 9th, starting at 8 p.m. at the Palms Casino Resort Soak Pool and Chaos Nightclub, with VIP cocktail hour starting at 7 p.m. This annual fundraiser promises lively entertainment, food and beverage, a secret red door, and a black and white dress code that encourages you to wear as much black and white as possible, or as little as you can get away with. Proceeds provide support and advocacy for adults and children living with and affected by HIV/AIDS in Southern Nevada. Get your tickets or find out more at afanlv.org. AFANLV.org stands for Aid for AIDS of Nevada, afanlv.org. The LGBTQ Center of Southern Nevada, also known as The Center, is holding its annual Gala Honorarium fundraiser on Friday, September 29th, with cocktails at 5:30 p.m. and dinner at 7 p.m. in the Encore Ballroom at Wynn Las Vegas. Dress is black tie optional for this event, which recognizes individuals and organizations that have made a significant impact on the LGBTQ plus community, while also celebrating the center's 30th anniversary. Find out more or get your tickets at thecenterlv.org. That's thecenterlv.org. And the Shade Trees Once Upon a Gala fundraiser event is happening Thursday, October 12th at 7 p.m. with the VIP Secret Garden Soiree starting at 5:30 in the Zouk Nightclub at Resorts World Las Vegas. This fairy tale-inspired event includes a live and silent auction, and all proceeds benefit the Shade Trees' mission to provide safe shelter to domestic violence and human trafficking survivors and their children. And they're also looking for donations of luggage, duffel bags, and backpacks for their current luggage drive. Get your gala tickets, make a donation, or find out more at theshadetree.org. That's theshadetree.org.